The Pittsburgh Steelers won four Super Bowls during the 1970s. In a new book titled Their Life's Work, The Brotherhood of the 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers Then and Now, Gary Pomerantz writes about who those Steelers were and who they became after they left football. Gary Pomerantz joins me from KALW in San Francisco. Welcome to Only a Game.
Good to be on with you here, Bill.
And also joining me are two of the stars from those Steeler teams, Joe, a.k.a. Mean Joe Green, and Franco Harris. Gentlemen, welcome to you both.
Hello, Bill. Good being with you.
And great to be with Joe and Gary.
Yes, sir.
This could go on for a long time. Gary, I want to start with the title of your book, Their Life's Work. Chuck Knoll, who coached the Steelers during the 70s, used that phrase to remind his players that pro football was not their life's work. Why?
Well, you know, it's a phrase that I heard in almost every interview I conducted for this book, and I conducted more than 200. It's a phrase that Chuck Knoll got from his NFL coach, Paul Brown. Chuck Knoll played for Paul Brown in the 1950s, and when Paul Brown was about to release a player, he would gather with that player and tell him, it's time to get on with your life's work. And when Chuck Knoll used this phrase, some of these players took it as a threat, the death knell of their career with the Steelers or maybe in the NFL. But other players took it more constructively. You know, they understood that what Chuck Knoll was saying is that football is a brutal game. And, you know, retirement and the rest of your life is one play away. And then it would be time to get on with your life's work. And those players started to plan for the rest of their lives.
Joe Green, a threat or an invitation to plan for the rest of your life?
I was one of those guys in the locker room that would tease some of my teammates, you know, maybe it's time for you to get into your life's work. And I was joking, and I think we all joked a little bit about that. But he wasn't insulting us when he said that. He was just wanting to let us know that football wasn't all of our lives.
Mm.
Part of it. Only part of it.
Every player that enters the NFL knows that day is going to come when you have to get into your life's work. So with that, and I hope Gary doesn't mind me going to another meaning of this, football is always part of our life from here on out. When we leave the game, we leave the field, but we don't leave football. It affects so many parts of our life, so many aspects of our life. So it'll be with us forever.
Franco, as the years have gone by and the NFL has celebrated parity, does the achievement of those Pittsburgh teams during the 70s, four Super Bowl wins in the same decade, seem all the more impressive?
Yes, it does. As time goes by, I guess it does get a little bit more important and bigger to us. But even during the 70s, we knew that what we had here was something unique, something extraordinary, and so we keep that with us.
Mm-hmm.
And Gary's captured that so well in his book.
Bill, let me say that this was really the greatest football team since the Earth's crust cooled. This team, this was the greatest accumulation of talent in one place at one time ever. And what I found remarkable, most remarkable, was this brotherhood they shared. They shared then and still today. Players today will never know this kind of closeness because of free agency.
Mm.
You know, these players are like grasshoppers today. They jump from team to team for bigger contracts, and we understand that. But they don't realize that they're paying a cost, and the cost is they're never going to have this kind of closeness that the Steelers had.
Well, Joe, you come across as one of the more compelling figures in the book. You're described this way, and I'm quoting now, he played the game with rage. And I understand that as a high school sophomore, you got kicked out of every game you played.
Yep.
For the reasons of expressing that rage. How did you tame that rage into what
did.
The pros sometimes called controlled violence? Never did, Franco?
No, he never did.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely not.
And yet he stayed in NFL games.
Oh, listen, his rookie year, he got kicked out of five. You know that, right?
Yeah, I did. I got kicked out of a few. After looking back, and I think I got a handle on it, and I think I was the reason for my attitude was because we were losing. But Chuck came up to me real quietly one day, and this after he saw me with my antics with the officials, you know, and he said, Joe, those officials, they have kids and mothers, and they like them. They don't like being talked to like that. I thought about it quietly, and then I said, well, he's got a point. And I think it was more or less the way he said it and how he said it that made me a better football player.
One of the things about Joe that I think is little known among football fans is how he was really the sheriff of the locker room. The defensive coach, George Perlis, tells an amazing story where he looks out to the field at his defense. You're supposed to see 11 guys, but there's only 10 out there. And he looks to his left, and standing next to him on the sidelines is Ernie Holmes, the starting defensive tackle. He says, Ernie, what are you doing here? And Holmes looks at him and says, Joe just threw me out of the game. And he says, what are you talking about? He said, well, Joe said if I wasn't going to run the play right, to get the hell out. And Perlis says, well, get back in there. And Ernie Holmes says, nah, not until Joe says it's okay.
Well, Joe, according to their life's work, you enjoyed being turned from Mean Joe Green into a lovable character by that Coca-Cola commercial where you give your jersey to the kid who's handed you a bottle of Coca-Cola. Did that commercial, in fact, change everything?
You know, it did. It changed, you know, my personality, particularly off the field. I was the guy that was unapproachable.
Hey, Bill, I did not know how to handle it. Joe being nice. I was like going crazy. I'm saying, Joe signing autographs. I couldn't believe it. But, Bill, I do want to say, as soon as that contract was up, Mean Joe Green came back.
Oh, my goodness.
I tell you what, that really touched me. It was a great commercial. And to me, that was vintage Joe, that when he gets to know you and you're his friend, he'll give you the shirt off his back. I mean, that captured the spirit of Joe Green perfectly.
Well, thank you, Mr. Harris.
I'm being nice, Joe.
Yeah, I know.
In 1976, Lynn Swann of the Steelers was told by doctors that a second concussion could be dangerous. How do you feel about the NFL contending otherwise until just a few years ago?
Well, my opinion on that was if they had told me in 1969 when I signed the contract, I would have still signed the contract and played. But just recently I saw League of Denial, and that really, really, really upset me. They knew. They knew, and they should have given me and all of us an opportunity to say yes or no. The dishonesty got underneath my skin a great deal.
You know, I interviewed a couple dozen Steelers from the 70s, and every one of them told me they would do it again in a second. No regrets. They said this at a time when they're in their middle 60s, some of them now creeping into their 70s. With titanium in their knees, their hips, their shoulders. This team has suffered some early deaths. Most well-known, of course, Mike Webster, the Hall of Fame center who played 17 years in the NFL at a position no man should play in the NFL for 17 seasons. And he was diagnosed posthumously, the first NFL player diagnosed posthumously with CTE, chronic traumatic encephalopathy, brain damage. And so this team has paid its price. And yet all of them say they do it again. And the tight end, Randy Grossman, said the reason is this was our gift. This is what made us special. This is what separated us from the faceless crowd.
It's obvious from the book that, Franco, you and Joe both remain close to your former teammates. Joe, I know that you worked for the Steelers until fairly recently. Do you both follow the current Steelers, watch all the games?
Oh, I do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
As you know, the schedule, we have not enjoyed a good year at this point, but we're still in the hunt.
We're still in the hunt. That's what makes it interesting. So sometimes you need a little help.
Yes, you do. We always knew that. Always do that.
Even, absolutely.
Even in the good days, we needed a little help.
Super Bowl champions Joe Green and Franco Harris are members of the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Gentlemen, thank you very much for speaking with me.
Thank you, Bill.
Bill, thank you, and this is an opportunity that I could be on National Public Radio. I've become a fan over the years, and it's a pleasure.
Well, it's a pleasure for me as well. And Gary Pomerantz is the author of their life's work, The Brotherhood of the 1970s Pittsburgh Steelers, Then and Now. It's published by Simon & Schuster, and Gary, thank you very much as well.
Oh, it's great to be on with you.
What are your memories of Franco, Mean Joe, and the other great Steelers of the 70s? Share your thoughts on Facebook.com/OnlyAGameRadio. It's 22 and a half minutes before the hour.
Support for Only a Game comes from the listeners of WBUR Boston, where the program is produced. The Music Emporium, for 45 years offering collectible boutique and vintage acoustic guitars. TheMusicEmporium.com. And Eton, offering the American Red Cross radio line a portable solar-powered radio with cell phone charger and flashlight for emergencies or travel. Now at Radio Shack. This is NPR.
Before Cristiano Ronaldo scored three times to lift Portugal over Sweden on Tuesday, a Pepsi advertising campaign on an agency's Facebook page in Sweden unveiled a series of commercials featuring a Ronaldo doll that had been stuck with pins, and one that had been tied to a railroad track, and another that had been crushed and smothered by a Pepsi can. After it became evident that the voodoo campaign had failed, Pepsi apologized, saying, "We would never want to put the sport or the spirit of competition in a negative light. We regret if people were offended by the posts." I wonder how sticking pins in a Ronaldo doll and tying it to a railroad track could be offensive. I mean, if somebody had done it to a Messi doll, sure.
Messing me up with your food.